All right. Last night, Sharon, we talked, praise the Lord, we talked about having a strong spirit. Sister, you've got to have a strong spirit. Does that mean a loud spirit? Well, it does too. It may. Is it possible? I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask, is it possible to have a silent spirit that's strong? I'd like for everybody in this room to get silent. Come on. Complete silence.
Hey,
brothers, I think I won right there. I tell you, brother, silence won't work. Now, it just won't work. But, Gene, what about that verse of scripture that says that all the earth keep silent before it? What about that? You can go back and read it. Yes, brother.
Amen.
It's a judgment.
It's a judgment. Not talking about
praise. Amen. 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 It says, let all the earth be silent, for God is about to judge it. And sit there and watch him judge and care of. What about be still and know that I am God? Addressing the enemy. Addressing the enemy. And saying, you just walk. You just sit there and be still and watch God defeat the enemy. Now, brothers, it is possible to have a quiet spirit, but not a silent spirit. Well, you say, Dean, I just believe I could be absolutely silent and pray for the Lord. That may be true, but brother, you're going to have an awfully active spirit. Most of us, when we get quiet, brothers, our spirit is not functioning. In our backgrounds, we have a concept of just reading the Bible and praying and going to church, and that's all there is to it. That is a passive Christian experience. Brothers, that is not the functioning body of Christ.
Say amen. All right, now then listen.
Brothers, one time Paul left a group of Christians. Just walked off and left them for a long, long time. Longer than you got, no, not as long as you got left in some cases last year. Longer than you're going to get left possibly ever again. But what did they do? What did they do? Brothers, I'll tell you, in every place that we have a record of what happened when Paul left those churches, it said as he left, they stood there rejoicing. That is an active spirit. And you've got to have an active spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, you are going to be going into back into the homes again in a few days. Oh, brothers and sisters, I implore you to do nothing but to consider this. Just consider time. Everything that we have considered for the last few months, the denial of the mind, laying down our opinion, rejoicing in the Lord, bringing our offerings to Christ, praying with prayer, denying the flesh, denying the soul, dead to the world, a strong spirit. Consider these things, brothers. Consider these things. And brothers, go back to the home to really experience the Lord in a corporate way. Then, brothers, I want to tell you this, that whatever you do in the home must be fed by your own experience with the Lord and with other brothers and sisters. I want to say it again. These meetings are not to come to be fed. I know you get fed in the meetings, right? Right. But that's not the purpose of them. The purpose is to feed. It's to feed the Lord and to feed one another, but it's not to be fed. You come here as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain what a minister is. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a servant? Have you already had some dessert? Jesus Christ. Would you like a second course of Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. Praise. Here is Jesus Christ with in abundance. Praise the Lord. Would you like to have a third course of Jesus prayer? That is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a neat way to serve the Lord? That's the only way to serve the Lord. Amen. That is the only way to minister Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be a minister. You don't minister for Christ. You minister for Christ. Now then, brothers and sisters, that's not all now. It takes a strong, active spirit. Sister, have you got Jesus Christ? But you have the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you realize you can keep him or give him away? Do you know that? You can keep him or you can give him away. Now, Brother Howard does not have that part of Christ that you have. Sister Gail does not have that part of Christ that you have. What can you do? Give it to Gail and Howard. Give that part of Christ you have to them. Now that's neat. That's glory. Diane, you have something of Christ nobody else on earth's got. But you know something? You have something of Christ I need. You have part of the body of Christ that I need. If any part of my body is removed from me, I don't function well. Do you know if I lose my two thumbs, I'm almost completely lose the use of these eight fingers? Did you know that? Because the only way I can use that little finger is with my thumb. Try to pick up a dime without your thumb.
Just try it. Just try it. It can't be bad. It can't be. You've got to have the thumb. There is a part of the body of Jesus Christ missing when you don't function. And I suffer an error.
Oh, so Sister Diane's going to come with a great two-hour message tomorrow night. Praise the Lord. If it's Christ, we'll eat it up. But Sister, I want to talk to you tonight about some things that I think most of us haven't really considered. Just really, one thing we perhaps haven't considered. Really, 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 how rich Christ can be to us. To take him and give him. This is very, very simple. I praise the Lord for this meeting tonight. I almost think maybe somebody knew what I was going to talk about tonight. I just felt like maybe the rumor got around.
But I didn't tell anybody at all what I was going to talk about tonight. Not even my wife knew. Praise the Lord, I'm going to talk about church singing.
Church singing.
Church in song. Now, is it Christian to sing?
Are you really sure about that now? It's a Christian thing to sing. Praise the Lord. 5:19. Amen. Quote it, Park. Brother Jack, stand up and quote it, Park.
Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in spiritual psalms and praises and on and on.
And making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Why? That's one verse. That's about all there is in the New Testament, isn't it, Howard? No? What does Colossians say? I don't think Colossians says it, does it? Colossians 3:19, I believe. 3:16? All right. Most Christians are not aware how much singing there is in the New Testament. How much singing there is in the New Testament. Okay, praise the Lord. It's the all. Singing, praise the Lord. All right, now, brothers and sisters, singing is not just a part of the Christian experience. It is a very part of our being. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, even in the New Testament. Let the word of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. That's Isaiah 12:2, brother. And then I believe, yeah, in Exodus 15:2. In Exodus 15:2. I'll read verse 1. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horses and its riders he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers, it cannot dwell in you to its soul richness unless it dwells out of you. You just can't have it totally in till you get totally out. Brothers and sisters, there is something of the Spirit singing. There is something of the Spirit that is a song. There is something of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very element of Christ, is a song. Have you ever heard of King of Kings? Who is the King of Kings? Have you ever heard of the Lord of Lords? Who is the Lord of Lords? What is the Song of Song? Jesus Christ is the King above the King. He is the Lord that rules the Lord. And he is the Song above all songs. He's the final song. He's the first song. He's the best song. He's the greatest song. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, brother. That Jesus Christ is song. Oh, brother, I tell you, this afternoon I listed at least 75. And the only reason in the world I'm not reading them tonight, I was tempted to have the whole meeting tonight be nothing but reading the verses. Just one right after another of singing in the Word of God. The first time it is really mentioned clearly, believe it or not, there are two places in Scripture, where the Lord begins. The Lord begins in Genesis 1, but because of the fall, the Lord has to make a second, real clear beginning of his work. And brothers, I think any Bible scholar who knows the Word of God clearly will tell you that it is really in Exodus 12 that we have a second beginning. For it is in Exodus 12 that the Lamb is given. If you will take the book of John, John 1, you will find that John 1 is a beginning book. Can you follow me? But John 1 is primarily two Old Testament chapters. It is Genesis 1 and Exodus 12. There are two beginnings in the Old Testament, Genesis 1 and Exodus 12. And it is in Exodus 15. That the Lord's people begin to sing. It happened this way, and it was just so spontaneous. They came up to the Red Sea, and they looked over a hill or down the valley or across the plain, and they saw Pharaoh's mighty armor. And there was nothing but drowning ahead of them or death behind them. And by Moses and his authority, been striking the water and commanding it open. And you can just see them looking at the walls of the water and thinking, that's a miracle. And everybody knows the miracle is very fragile. It will go away. And there are at least 1 million of us who got to go through that water. And that water's got to stand back all that time. Who knows when it's going to close in? But a few brave souls start across because it's either death by drowning or death by an army. And a few run in. And they just keep running and nothing happens. And a few more brave souls come behind them. And after that, a few more think, oh, well. So here they go. And pretty soon, they all begin to say, it's working. And they start across fearfully. And then hundreds begin to go. And then thousands. And then tens of thousands. They begin to get used to it. I'm sure some brother walked right up to the wall of water and goes, and another one begins to let out a shout. And then spontaneously, where thousands and thousands of people right out in the bed, in the walk bed, they begin to sing. And they begin to shout. And they begin to dance. And they begin to praise the Lord. And the last few hundred thousand that walked across muttered, we're dancing all the way across, and shouting all the way across, and singing all the way across. And by the time they got to the other side, they had composed a song. It was the Song of Moses. And it's in the book of Psalms. And they sang it.
would die over the Lord. Great deliverance of them. But I don't know what it sounded like by the time they got to the other side. But can you imagine a million people singing to the glory of God after a miracle like that? That was marvelous. That was the beginning of Christian singing. Praise the Lord. Don't just sit there like that. Amen. Our Lord. Oh, you know that Deborah was delivered. She and her people were delivered and in a situation in the Old Testament. And she wrote a song. And there's the song of Deborah in the Old Testament. But did you know that many, many of the Old Testament psalms written by David are just psalms that were written by him after tremendous experiences? You all know that, I think. But are you aware that he took one song, one F-O-N-D, song, and he wrote it? It's in First Chronicles, and having wrote it, a song, do you know what he did with it? He took it before the Lord, and he prayed it. He prayed a song that he had written to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, have you ever prayed a song? There's something I really would like to see the saints of the Lord do. Really like to see them do. And I'm going to talk to a brother, this brother right here, about it privately. Because I believe that this time is the time to strike the iron is hot. I would like to see a brother go all the way through the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 9th of 18th century and find all the marvelous things that have been written by the children of God. They can be found. Things written in dungeon. Things written in prison. Things sung at stake. And then just get the very best essence of all of it out. And make it available to repair. Praise the Lord. How's that for a neat idea, baby? Praise the Lord. I don't know what we'd do with it, but brother, I want you to know there is tremendous power in a song. Tremendous power in a song. A song is the deepest expression, the very essence of what is left of a great cataclysmic experience with God. It's the what left over. And it's left over for you and me. Brothers and sisters, a song is no small thing. It's brother back is left on the altar after a tremendous offering has been left to the Lord. And there's still the remembrance of the left. If you ever get desperately ill or desperately in trouble, take the psalm or any good song book and begin reading it, and you'll make a startling discovery that those words mean 100 times more than you ever realized. You ever had a, when you had picked up the phone and you had been so awakened, why, that man had gone through what I'm going through. And you're comforted because you just knew nobody else on earth really knew that you were going through. Brothers and sisters, you can even take a phone and pray to the Lord. Okay. Just listen. Just listen to this. Jehoshaphat won a battle with a song. He took his priest. He took those priests that could sing and he put them out front and he said to them, you go into battle first and the army will be right behind you. And the priest started out singing. And when they got a little further along, the enemy came up to them, and the enemy was completely defeated by the song the priest was singing. Praise the Lord. Hezekiah was about to die, and everybody knows he was praying to the Lord. But did you know that Hezekiah wrote a song and sang it to the Lord? And it was by that song that Hezekiah was given an extension of life. Even his
singing of the song brought favor to the Lord, and the Lord extended his life. All through the Old Testament, it's just there, over and over and over and over again, the same. When the ark was brought into the city, the whole city just broke forth with singing. And all along the road, as the ark came by, there was nothing to sing. Well, that's wonderful. That's interesting. But, brother, did you realize something? The ark has been brought back. The ark has been lost. I'm going to say something, and I say it boldly. I don't think that Jesus Christ as Lord and centrality, Lord and as the Lord. I'm going to start over. I don't believe in modern times that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever been revealed so centrally in the church as he is being revealed today. There's been a tabernacle without an ark. And there have been at times an ark without a tabernacle. But brethren, praise God, the ark has been brought back.
What do you do when the ark gets brought back? Oh, wow. There's just so much more. We don't have time for all of it, but I just want to catch on two or three or four things. Brothers and sisters, things were so much in the clock of the Old Testament believer's life. Would you just, from 32:7, 1 Chronicles 25:1, 2 Chronicles 29, you don't have one. 2 Chronicles 29, I think it's 27. If it's not 27, it's 23.
In Psalm 32:7, it is supposed to say, God has encompassed me around about with a song. Praise the Lord.
I use the Old American to look up all my scriptures with. I always do it first because it's so accurate. Praise the Lord. And I'm not mistaken after all. The Lord has encompassed us around about, brothers and sisters, with a song.
Brothers and sisters, that song is around you all the time. And all you have to do is reach out and take it.
You are encompassed around about with a crown. Just think, if the devil tried to go get you, he'd have to go to the song. Praise the Lord. Brother, it's all right if he gets you. He may get converted in the sunset. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. All right, brother, when your morning has been turned to joy, what are you supposed to do?
Sing a song. Praise the Lord. Brother, contribute to him.
Did you ever get delivered from the Lord and then keep it all locked up inside of you, brother?
Oh, brother, the Lord wants the offering. He wants the offering. Have you been delivered lately?
I get delivered two or three times per day. But then there is time per song.
When do we sing? In the meeting? Yes. Is that the only time?
No, brothers and sisters.
Your service.
Okay, it is so much clearer in another translation. It's ever said that the priests were appointed to sing.
The priests were appointed to sing. I would like for all the priests in this room to treat things.
Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you were appointed in your office. As one of your duties, you have been appointed to sing. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Okay, what is the next one? Okay, brother.
2 Chronicles 29:27.
Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. As the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord also began with a trumpet, accompanied by the instruments of David, singers and
bells. Praise the Lord. I want you to get this. And remember, this is a picture. When the children of the Lord came together to offer up their sacrifice to the Lord, as soon as the priests came and began to offer up the sacrifice to the Lord, the entire congregation broke out in singing.
And then they would blow the trumpets and hit the cymbals together.
and they'd offered up the sacrifice in the midst of praises and singing. Praise the Lord, brother. This is a glorious picture for all of us, brother. Offer your sacrifice up with singing.
Whether you do it before or after or during, sing with your sacrifice. Okay, where is our next one?
All right, brother.
Now these are the King David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord. After the ark left the bear.
Praise the Lord.
And they ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting.
Brother, that said, they ministered to the Lord with what?
This term used in Acts 13, and they ministered to the Lord, is one of the most fascinating terms in all the scripture. How do you minister to the Lord?
Those brothers in Acts 13 were not praying. They were ministering to the Lord. I don't know everything they did that day. It was one of the holiest days in all of human history. Well, I'll tell you this. I bet you may. They ministered to the Lord, and it says the priest ministered to the Lord with song. I want to read 2 Chronicles 5:12. I don't think I gave that to anyone. And all the Levite singers, and it names them, stood before the altar with 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. When the trumpets and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices, it was accompanied by all sorts of instruments. And they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house and the house of the Lord was filled with a crowd. Praise the Lord. In the midst of the singing and the blowing of the instruments and the playing of the instrument and the shouting, hallelujah, the crowd descended, brothers, and filled the house of the Lord. And it says, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. This was the song they sang. Lord, You're good. Indeed, Your loving kindness is everlasting. That's a good song. Praise the Lord. Who has the next one? Brother? I did not give any more? Oh, then I've saved the best for the last. Numbers 21:18.
In Numbers 21, if you'd like to read this with me. In Numbers 21:18, there is a record of the wilderness journey. When the brothers and sisters were going to the wilderness, they came to a place called Beer, or it was called, in Hebrew, Beer, or it's called the well. And when they got there, either by commandment or perhaps by instinct, I don't know. Yes, Bert. All right. And then from there they continued to Beer. That is the well where the Lord said to Moses, Assemble the people that I may give them water. And they all got together in front of the well and they began to sing. And they this is what they sang. Spring up well with water. Spring up well with water. And brothers, they sang to the well and the well did walk. It sprang up with water. Brother Al Watson, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Thank you, brother. The Chinese have a song that starts off, spring up well with water, fill me then completely, dig the well within me, dig the well completely, something like that. I don't remember the words. I've heard it spelling in Chinese. I've heard it spelling a few times in English. Brothers and sisters, there's a well in here. You ever watched it spring up? You know how it can spring up, brother? Spring. Sing to it, brother. Spring to the well, and it'll spring up. I think that there are many brothers and sisters who don't have the habit of singing. Do you? Do you have the habit of singing? As soon as I got saved, I got the habit of singing. Except I have to add two words. I got the habit of singing off key. And I got a problem, and I really wanted my wife to be here because I've got an announcement to make to her. And Linda is sick, and I really wanted to make an announcement to her. I've got an announcement to make. Would you bring it back? I don't have the nerve to do it privately. After my children got older, I stopped. And then I do it
more, but I don't do it as much as I used to before my kids grew up. Brother, I used to get up and I brought every morning into being with God. Amen, brother. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I know it's not singing. When Brother Warren Alexander first came and visited us, we were just a small group. I got up one night and I led the brothers and sisters in a song, and it was just horrible. Brother Warren got me off to one side, and he was very worried. He said, "Ying, you really got up there and just really made a real fool of yourself," or something like that. He said, "You know, Brother, leaders don't do things like that." And it's really true. Leaders don't do things like that. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord, brother. I know how bad I sing. If you want to laugh at me, that's all.
I know it's bad, but don't you think that I won't get up there in front of you and encourage you to sing? I don't care how dumb listening I am. And this is the announcement I want to make for my wife and children tonight.
You're going to get it off key, out of tune, the wrong word.
And early. Brother and sister, I just admonish you to get up in the morning and tune. And let your roommate suffer the consequences. And let your husband suffer the consequences. And let your wife suffer the consequences. There is a well within you, brother. And it will arise to the sound of music.
Praise the Lord. It will come out with the sound of music. Yes, brother. Brothers, this is really an admonition tonight. All right, I'm going to just pass over some things and say to you, brother, I want you to look at them. I want you to see and sit an entire city called Jerusalem, that when it was at its highest and its best and its spiritual keenness, not when it was in a backslidden state, the city of Jerusalem was filled with singing continually. The daughters of Zion would go prating through the streets, sing songs, and they would be admonished, "Go to the height of Zion, O daughters of Israel, march to the height of Zion." In the morning, when the doors of the city were open, the travelers would be coming in from the small towns and villages, and they always approached the city singing. And they were admonished, "Enter their gate singing and giving thanks unto the Lord." Whenever there was a festival, the daughters of Zion would go outside the city, and they would come in dancing in great whirling circles and enter the streets of the city. Under all. You see, we thought we caught that up, didn't we? To march through the street singing is something that's in the spirit of a man and a woman. Now, you may not even agree with that. You may just think, brother, that just can't be. Brother and sister, it is our heritage to be singing. It just really is. Now, here's what I want to read the last part and the best part, at least in the Old Testament.
Priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the direction of King David of Israel. How long had King David been dead? Around, at least. Yeah, he had to be dead at least 300 years, maybe many, many years more than that. And yet, as the foundation of Berer was laid again, they sang, they praised the Lord according to the instructions of King David. And very sang praises, very sang praising and giving thanks to the Lord, singing, "For he is good, and for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever."
The same song they sang before, brother. Yes, brother. Whether that's in the rebuilding of the temple under Ezra. In Ezra 3, 10 and 11.
"And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord was laid." Brothers, have you ever shouted praises unto the Lord because you could see the foundation laid? I stood in this building and I shouted for one reason. I could see the house. I could see the house and I shouted for joy.
But don't you think that you shout in here just because you shout? There is something in your spirit that matches the past work of God when that work is accomplished.
Praise the Lord. It is no small thing that we sing praises to the laying of the foundation of the temple. There is, let's not stop singing praises now. Praise the Lord. All right, Numbers.
Nehemiah 12, 24. This is really neat.
And the heads of the Levites, and he gives their name, with their brothers opposite them, to praise and give thanks as prescribed by David, the man of God, giving correspondence to each one of them, so on and so on. At any rate, verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they shouted out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs, accompanied by cymbals and harps and lyres. And the sons of the seniors were assembled from the districts around Jerusalem and from the villages around about too.
Praise the Lord, brothers. It is very difficult to pronounce some of these words. And verse 43, and on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoicing because God had given them great joy. Even the women and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard for Phinehas. Praise the Lord.
Verse 45, for they performed the worship of their God and the service of purification together with the singers and the gatekeepers according to the commandments of David and his son Solomon. Praise the Lord. For the days of David and Asaph in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praises and hymns of thanksgiving unto God. Brothers, it was true in the days of David and when they restored the temple. It was true in the days of Ezra. And if what was true in the days of Ezra when they laid the foundation was true in the days of Nehemiah when they dedicated the wall. And what they had done under David, they did under Ezra. Well, praise the Lord. Listen to this. When Elizabeth found out that John the Baptist was going to be born, she offered songs of thanksgiving to the Lord. And when Zechariah, her husband, found out that John was born, he offered up a song of thanksgiving to the Lord. And when Mary, dear sister Mary, our sister Mary, found out that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, she sang praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. And brothers, when the Lord Jesus Christ triumphantly entered into the city of Jerusalem, oh, wow, that must have been a sign. Can you see that? All of the Old Testament symbols were beginning to be realized that day. And that whole city broke forth in singing as the Lord Jesus Christ entered in it too. And if you'll read it carefully, I believe you'll find, brothers, he entered into the city and then he entered into the temple. Wow. He was showing a picture of what he was about to accomplish in three or four more days. That night, my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ sat down with the disciples, and if you please, they had the really first meeting of the church there ever was, because it was done right in the very light and shadow of the cross. And that night, brothers, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ sang a hymn in praise to the Father. And do you think he got up there and sang, Allah Shabbatini, you don't, brothers, you know he didn't do that. If I know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, who had had several million years of practice singing with angels, brother, in the heavenly places, I believe, brothers and sisters, the Sicilian of the first century church was taught to the saints by the Lord himself. And brothers, he must have been a singer because he was God's song. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That then in Hebrews 2, it says he sang. He sang. And in Hebrews 13, it says he sang. For he singed in the midst of the congregation of God. Person, you have heard the Lord Jesus Christ sing.
Yeah.
I have heard him sing. I've heard the Lord Jesus Christ sing right here in the room. I know I've heard his voice, and I just want to turn around and look. I have heard the Lord sing. Nobody else could sing like that, brothers and sisters. Only the Lord could sing like that in the midst of the congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ is a marvelous singer. Both the children of God in the New Testament were marvelous singers. There's not, it's just so interesting. When Paul and Silas got thrown in jail in Acts 16, they knew how to sing. They had had practice at singing, brother. They woke up a whole jail singing song. Everybody took note of it, including the jailer, who was probably down at his cell. They all heard them singing songs or praises to the Lord in the middle of the night. There are three songs recorded in the New Testament. One's in Timothy, one's in Revelation, and the third one, I forget where it is. There are three Greek songs set to Greek meter in the New Testament epistles in the book of Revelation. The brothers and sisters in the first century were singers. One of the first records ever written by a pagan about Christians was written in the latter part of the first century. As far as I know, it's the only comment made. It is the only secular comment made by Roman authorities about Christians. It's a very short statement, and it says three things. You have to read it closely, but they're all three there. They met a lot. They sing a lot. And they eat a lot. That's essentially what it says. They meet, they sing, and they eat. That's all that we know from the secular world about the first century church. They met, they sang, they ate. Hallelujah, brother. We can get by on that.
Praise the Lord. Would you get by over there? Oh, brothers, here's what I want to say to you.
Sing. Sing. Praise the Lord, brothers. Sing.
And here's why I brought the message last night. Sing with a strong. Sing with a strong. Let all of your Babylonian ways go, brothers and sisters. How could the children of God sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? They just couldn't do it. You know why they have song leaders? Do you know why they have song leaders? Praise the Lord. Nobody will sing if you don't have a song leader. Brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord we sing because we want to. Brothers and sisters, sing. And I mean sing. Brothers, I mean really sin. I want to tell you something. Most of my life until 3 or 4 years ago, when the Lord just, 3 years ago, the Lord just delivered me. Most of my life, I have borne a throat infection. But I have never let that stand in the way. I want you to know that I have, with rare exception, I have only sung one song in all my life. Just one song. And that was my last one. You announce a song, brother, and I'll get up and sing it like it was the last song I'll ever sing as long as I live. I don't care if my throat is galled. I don't care if it's hoarse. I don't care if it's the 10th day of a meeting and I have spoken every morning and every night and I can't be heard above a whisper. If you'll announce a song, brother, I'll sing it like it was the last song I ever sang. Brothers and sisters, there is a way to sing. I think it is in the Old Testament, in one of the Psalms, it says, I sing to thee with my flesh and with my spirit. Brothers, sing with all your... No, it says, I sing with my flesh and with my heart. Brother, sing with all your being. I want to encourage you, brother, whether you can sing or not, that when you sing, forget every brother and sister in the room and forget you can't carry a tune. And give yourself to two things, to the praise and adoration of the Lord in that song and into the deep meaning of the words, and offer them up to the Lord in the depth of reality.
And brother, when that song is a song and a song and a half, when it's remarching to Zion, or when it's the Hallelujah chorus, or when it's the victory's won, then brother, sing with all your spirit. I cannot explain it, but my brother, I want you to know that there is a spirit in you and it wants to get out. We can speak with our soul, but brother, I'll tell you, it is the spirit that sings. The spirit invented singing. The spirit matches a song, and a song matches the spirit. And brother, you can't sing long until you're singing with your spirit. If you sing with all your heart, you'll sing with your spirit. And then, brother, if it is,
I just want to say, brother, if we're going like this, brother, don't stop it. As long as we're going up, don't stop it. Just keep on, feed the fire. Praise the Lord.
The Hallelujah chorus. Praise the Lord. What's better than the Hallelujah chorus? Number 25, praise the Lord. We're still going up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going up. Go up.
Then when we level off, we can start going back down here. And if we're down, I don't mean down spiritually, but I mean if we're quiet, praise the Lord, brother. Just being quiet.
Little by little, we'll go up. As long as we're going up, don't bring us back down. We'll just keep on going up.
When we start down, brother, don't try to bring us back up again. We'll just come down and we'll just bathe in the wharf. Brothers, even when you're singing quiet, sing with a strong spirit.
Oh, brother, listen, it's just so natural when you're singing quietly, just kind of go along. Oh, brother, you've got a spirit inside of you. Connect it. Plug it in. Use it. Employ it. And while you're singing softly and gently and sweetly, brother, sing with adoration. Turn your whole being to the worship of the Lord. And sing. Then, brother, when you are singing with the shouts and praises of the Lord's people, sing not only with your spirit, but sing with your soul. And, brother, not just with your soul, but sing with your body. Get all you've got. This is an exhortation. That's all. It's an exhortation. Praise the Lord. Now, brothers, all I want to tell you is, and you know this, that's the Old Testament, and that's the New Testament. But one of these days, the Lord's going to really get down to the essentials.
He's going to strip off all the picture. He's going to strip off all the flesh. He's going to strip away all of the odors and all the foreign, all the fallen nature. And then he's going to get down to that which is the essence.
Longing for more of Jesus? Click here to continue the journey.